This message comes from NPR sponsor Carvana. With thousands of options under $20,000, plus customizable financing terms and down payments as low as $0 down, it's easy to find a car that fits your lifestyle. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today. Terms and conditions may apply.
Hey, this is Tamara Keith. I cover the White House.
This is Miles Parks. I cover voting.
And this is Elena Moore. I'm a producer on the podcast.
And we just ran 3 miles in the Capitol Challenge race. It's a running race.
There were members of Congress here. There were members of the judicial branch here. There were members of the media here. And most of them ran faster than me.
And me.
And me. But we survived, and now we're going back to our day jobs. And this podcast was recorded at...
It is 1:29 p.m. on Thursday, September 30th, 2021.
Things may have changed by the time you hear this. All right.
Here's the show.
I recognize those voices.
I'm impressed. 3 miles is far.
It is very far. I don't run anywhere.
Me neither. Except to get a story.
Yes, and when I've done that, I end up very winded. So congrats to our colleagues. Hey there, it's the NPR Politics Podcast. I'm Aisha Roscoe. I cover the White House.
I'm Carrie Johnson, National Justice Correspondent.
And I'm Nina Totenberg. I cover the Supreme Court.
The Supreme Court term begins next week, so let's talk about the makeup of the court right now and why we expect this term to be a big deal. There is a 6-3 conservative majority, and it seems like at this point, that majority is ready to make their mark. Do you feel like that, Nina?
Well, they've teed up a list, a menu, as it were, of big social issues, massive social issues that are on the court's docket this term to be decided. And that includes abortion, guns, potentially affirmative action in higher education, some big religion cases, even a campaign finance case. I mean, this is... I think I wrote this for sometime later this week. This is a humdinger.
Yeah. A humdinger of a term.
Yeah.
One thing about this court is there is a concern that has been talked about over and over again about the court being too political or being viewed through a partisan lens, that it has become so political that it has in some ways diminished the court. That is something that justices are trying to fight against, right?
Yes, and the Chief Justice, John Roberts, has clearly been worried about this over the last few years, as the court has gotten more and more and more conservative now, with 3 Trump appointees added to 3 other conservative justices, of whom those last 3, 2 of them are, I guess you'd call them hardcore. The chief is certainly a conservative justice, but he occasionally disappoints the right. I've never covered a court like this before, with this kind of a menu of cases. It's always been far more mixed. You couldn't just predict pretty easily how people were going to vote on major questions. And that is no longer the case. As Irv Gornstein, who's head of the Georgetown Supreme Court Law Institute, said, that we may have reached a tipping point, and a tipping point where the public no longer believes these assurances that these folks aren't partisan, when their philosophies so perfectly gel with partisan objectives.
And it's been predestined that way, Nina. I mean, the very way that these judges are selected by White Houses and confirmed by the Senate seems to factor in, if not explicitly how they would rule, some very strong hints about where they view religion and abortion and a lot of these other issues.
That's true. And in fact, in the Trump White House, they virtually farmed out the choices for lower court and the Supreme Court. They farmed out the options to the Federalist Society, the very, very conservative Federalist Society. No White House has ever done that before.
So we did a whole podcast about abortion in the court yesterday, and everybody should go and check that out. But Nina, just briefly, like, that is one of the major things that's on the to-do list for the court this term.
Well, on December 1st, they'll hear arguments in a case testing whether Mississippi's ban on abortions after 15 weeks is constitutional. That is in direct conflict with Roe versus Wade and all the decisions by the Supreme Court since then that have upheld the notion that women have a constitutional right to terminate a pregnancy as long as the fetus is not viable, not able to live on its own outside the womb.
And so this case that you're talking about, this is about Mississippi, but we've been hearing about this Texas law, and that was, the Texas law is at 6 weeks. Is it possible that the court could hear something on that Texas law that is 6 weeks?
It's possible. I think the court probably doesn't really want to. It refused to intervene to block the law from going into effect. That decision was not to intervene was 5-4, with the Chief Justice voting with the court's liberals. The five other conservatives said, no, this isn't our business at this moment. That said, it soon will be, because now there has been an abortion after 6 weeks that a doctor performed knowingly. He has now been sued under the terms of the law by individuals who want the bounty, the $10,000 that they can win for every violation of the law. And that could very quickly get to the Supreme Court. Whether it does it in time to be heard this term, it's unclear.
Carrie, I know that you've been looking at, you know, some Second Amendment cases. There's supposed to be a case from New York that's going to the Supreme Court. What's the issue there?
Yeah, this is a real big one, Aisha, because the court really hasn't addressed the Second Amendment and guns head on since about 2010, to the disdain, really, of Justice Clarence Thomas and Justice Neil Gorsuch, who basically have been calling on the court to take up a gun case. Well, this is one of those instances where the departure of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the arrival of Judge Amy Coney Barrett has made a real difference. Barrett, in the lower courts on the Seventh Circuit, was very pro-Second Amendment. She has a lot of writing about that dating back to her time as a law professor at Notre Dame. And this case in New York revolves around the state's licensing regime. This involves carrying concealed handguns in public. And New York makes it pretty hard to do that. People have to show they have a real need. And now that law is being challenged. And it's being challenged in a way that could lead this court to make some more important advances on the Second Amendment. The court, for instance, has never actually said we have a right to carry a handgun outside the home for protection. The court could decide to go that far or go less far, but given the makeup of the court and the way the justices have spoken and written about the Second Amendment in the past, this is going to be a real big case, I think.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll talk about some of the maybe less high profile cases that the court has taken up.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hero Bread. Burger buns, tortillas, and fluffy breads, and oh, so many carbs. Hero Bread makes healthier versions of these carb favorites. Fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, great taste. With more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout. That's HEROPOD at HERO.CO.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Carrie, Nina, what are some of the other less talked about cases you're watching this term? Let's start with you, Carrie.
You know, one of the things I've been watching is what the court's going to do with respect to the coronavirus pandemic. They had a number of orders during the pandemic about respect for religious liberties and religious practice. In some cases, overturning some localities and some states' limits on the number of people gathering in person. Well, now we have this vaccine mandate from President Biden. And Aisha, I know you've covered that a lot.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's already kind of getting teed up is that The Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, says it's writing a rule that would apply to private employers with 100 or more employees. Already 24 Republican state attorneys general have written to the Biden administration threatening to sue as soon as that rule comes out. I have a feeling that's going to get to the Supreme Court, although it's not clear to me whether it's going to be this year or next term.
You know, it's really interesting because the court itself has very carefully, not at least publicly, said we have a mandate for our employees. But I'm told that upward of 95% or more of the employees at the court are vaccinated, including all the members of the court. And when we go back next week, we all are going to be tested weekly in order to get in, those of us who will be covering the court, and so will the lawyers. And otherwise, it's closed to the public except for court staff and the lawyers and reporters.
Nina, that's so interesting. So I wonder where they're going to, I mean, they have their own rules for themselves, and I wonder where they're going to come down on the rules for everybody else. That's fascinating.
Well, with the age of a lot of these justices, I'm sure they would be probably particularly concerned about catching the coronavirus. Just throwing that out there. But Nina, what are some other cases that you're looking for?
Well, this is the politics podcast, so I guess I should say that the court this week accepted a case, a campaign finance case brought by Senator Ted Cruz.
Oh, wow.
He has challenged the Federal Election Commission rule that there's a limit on what how much candidates can be reimbursed for personal loans to their campaigns. So far, that's been thrown out by the lower court as a violation of Senator Cruz's First Amendment right of free speech. And we'll see what the Supreme Court does with it.
Nina, I got to ask you, do you think Ted Cruz might try to argue this case himself?
That's exactly what I was going to say, because he has a history of this, right?
Yeah, he was the Solicitor General at one point, I think, of Texas. But certainly he's argued cases in front of the Supreme Court.
Something that, you know, people have been looking about or talking about, obviously, is Justin Stephen Breyer and whether he will be stepping down. I know that you have talked to him, Nina, and he hasn't made that clear. He's still making his decisions, but there's still a lot of talk about if he does step down, who would replace him and what would happen. Is there any thought of that happening anytime soon?
Well, we know that President Biden pledged during the campaign to name an African-American woman to the court if there's a vacancy. And I would say that the two leading contenders are a judge now on the D.C. Court of Appeals, promoted to that position by President Biden from a district court judgeship, Ketanji Brown Jackson. And then the other leading contender is probably Leandra Kruger, who served for many years in the Solicitor General's office arguing cases in front of the Supreme Court and has for some time now been on the California Supreme Court.
And I know that Democrats are hoping that if Breyer is going to step down, that it will happen before the midterms, because with the Senate being in such a narrow majority, or the narrowest of majorities for the Democrats, they don't know what's going to happen after the midterms. And so they want to be in control of this, right?
Oh, that's definitely true. But this is not something that Stephen Breyer doesn't know. He's made very clear in the interview that I did with him earlier in September that he has not made up his mind about retirement, but I would not be surprised if he announced that he's going to retire at the end of this term and that he makes that announcement or sends a letter to the president anyway, even though if he doesn't tell us, sometime early next year, early 2022.
And meanwhile, the White House keeps nominating federal judges. Today, we got word that the Biden administration is nominating Dale Ho, who's a really nationally, if not internationally, renowned voting rights expert at the ACLU, to a federal district court judgeship in New York. So he was one of, I think, 10 or so federal judges nominated today by the Biden administration.
All right. Well, let's leave it there for now. I'm Aisha Roscoe. I cover the White House.
I'm Carrie Johnson, National Justice Correspondent.
And I'm Nina Totenberg. I cover the Supreme Court.
And thank you for listening to the NPR Politics Podcast. Across America, history is often recorded on small markers. You've probably seen them on the sides of roads, in front of buildings, in the middle of nowhere. NPR's Laura Sullivan spent a year investigating thousands of markers and found a distorted version of America's history, but also curiosities, humor, and joy. Listen to the new episode of The Sunday Story on the Up First podcast from NPR.
Taylor Swift has dropped a new album. She is the biggest pop star in the world, and everything she does makes news.
I gasped. I was like, oh my God, I've been there, and you can identify with it.
For a breakdown of Taylor Swift and her new album, The Tortured Poets Department, listen to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.